Really nice to see you all, and to see you guys online too, and to hear your voices. And go to Galatians, please, chapter 5. If you listened carefully to the manifestations, God wants us to do His word. He's given us everything. He's given us the ability, the power. And He wants us to live this thing and to bring it to others. And the way you do that is you bring people the word, God's word, and as you speak to others, I think the number one thing that you have to have is you have to have a heart to want to reach them for God and not for any other motive. Not to bring them to church, not to bring them to fellowship, not to add to the group, not to have any other motive than literally touching somebody's life so that you bring them to Him and then He works within them. And if, you know, it works out, maybe they hang out with you and you get the chance to teach them in depth as time goes on. And if they live someplace else and do something else, maybe He will provide for them to learn about Him. That I know. If you're hungry, anyone who is hungry and thirsts, He fills. Ask and you will receive. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul has been teaching these people for pretty much, I'd say close to 18 years. And then a group of people came in and started teaching a different doctrine and turned them. Just turned them from the truth unto another gospel, it says in chapter 1. And that gospel that they were turning them to was basically that you had to get circumcised and do the law in order to be saved. And Jesus Christ was not enough. His crucifixion, His sacrifice, what He accomplished on the cross was not enough. And it says here in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." And that it's an amazing verse, because this word, the prophet, it's to unemploy. You're going to unemploy Him. In other words, you fired your Savior. If you turn back to doing things to get saved, if you don't have faith that He did it all, and it could be anything. I mean, come down to the altar and get baptized with water. If any of those things are done, you can have ceremony. We have communion, right? We do it as a church. You're supposed to do communion every time you eat. You're supposed to remember the sacrifice of our Lord every time we eat, every time you pick up bread. That's what He said. Do this as often as you eat it. Not talking about once a week. You know, as often as you eat, remember what I've done. Remember the covenant that has been cut. Remember what I have done for you, because your sins are covered by my blood and you are healed and saved, you know, and not only in this life, but also forever because of His broken body. But He says here, if you be circumcised, if you say you got to do this for salvation, I'm just cutting to the chase here with, you got to read the rest of the book, then Christ, the Messiah, shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect. You have unemployed Him unto you. Whosoever you are that are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for hope, the hope of righteousness by faith. See, the Word of God says to us in various places, it says that you are sanctified, right? You are, and you are, you're set apart. But we're certainly mixed up with the group down here. You know, we're certainly mixed up in the world that we got. In fact, you're supposed to be hanging out with sinners so that you can win them to the Lord. You're not supposed to be, they're not supposed to suck you into what they're doing. You know, you're supposed to go the other way, right? That you want to reach them so that they do the Word of God and do what you're doing. But it's real hard to win somebody if you don't hang out with these people. And for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness. You know, you are righteous. You are righteous right now in the eyes of God. But you know what? I know people have a hard time with that because Christ has given you his righteousness. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:21, I think it is. You know, that double transfer. What Jesus Christ, he who had no sin, became sin, the sin offering for us. He who knew no, I got to go to, just stick your finger here, we're coming right back. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's not very far away. A lot of things in the scriptures are written like they are right now, but they're going to be fulfilled in the future. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "For he hath made him," talking about Christ, "to be sin," or the sin offering, "for us, who knew no sin." God made him to be, take your sins and put it on himself. All right? He was the man who was innocent. He knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin, and yet he took upon him our sins. He was the one who was sinless, but he became sin. And that transfer is that not only has he become sin, but he has given you now his righteousness. So when you had that, scapegoat and the offering at the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The high priest was to go in with blood to the Holy of Holies, the holiest day of the year. This was the picture God painted. He went in with blood. He sprinkled it on the altar. He sprinkled it on the mercy seat. He went in with, he sacrificed a bull for himself and for his sins and his family and the sins of the priests. And then he had the goat. There were two. One was sacrificed, and that blood was for the sins of the people. And the other one, he would walk out, and he would place his hands on, and the sins of the people would be transferred to the goat. And the innocence of the goat was given to the people. Jesus Christ took upon him our sins, and he gave us his righteousness. Now, there's a lot of days you don't feel righteous, do you? Because it says, go back to Galatians. I didn't stick my finger there. Galatians chapter 5. It says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You know when you're going to be absolutely clothed with that righteousness? No spot, no nothing. Is going to be when our Lord returns. You know when you're going to receive? You've got it. As far as God's concerned, you've got that righteousness. We're still dealing with this flesh that we have. But in the Spirit, you got the hope of righteousness. Justification. Complete sanctification. You know, you've got everything. And I think the Lord said that to us today, if you heard that in the manifestation. You got everything. Everything that you are ever going to get in this life, you got from Him. It's a matter of not begging and pleading for it. It's a matter of having the faith that, yes, God has said this, I have it, it is done, and I can walk out on this. You can speak the word, bring help, bring deliverance. You can pray for people and bring deliverance to them. You can do what Christ did because He said so, and if you live by faith, then you do so. You know, it's as simple as that. It's a matter of controlling our thoughts. For in Christ Jesus, verse 6, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. All of those outside things, they don't do anything. It's faith that works by love. You believing what God has said, what Christ has done and accomplished, and living in the Spirit, and you do it with love. You were doing fine. You believed that gospel once. You run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion, or this doctrine, comes not of Him that called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and isn't that the truth? You just got a little evil in your life or a little compromise in your life when it comes to God, His word, and doctrine, and guess what? It will hurt you. It will take people out. Lies. Remember, there's two. I've often said this. You got the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you got the God of this world, and He's called by a lot of different names and a lot of different religions. But everybody is. Everyone is influenced is a good word by both gods through words. It's words that come to your ears and that you receive, and you either believe truth or you believe error. And lies have wings. I think Vincent was, we were talking to him, he says, yeah, there's a verse in there someplace that lies have wings. I got to look it up. But I couldn't tell you where that one is. Maybe you can look it up for yourself. But the point is, I mean, they go on a roll. You get on a roll. And this, you got to do something for salvation. Jesus is great, man, but you got to do something else. You got to do these other things, otherwise you ain't saved. And you know that goes right along with that. That's right up man's alley. Men love to look. Oh, look at what I did. Look at what I did. It really sends a tickle down your leg. I could do something. I've proven myself. And that's exactly what the scripture tells you you can't do. Ephesians chapter 2 and the first three verses tell you that you were dead dead. Dead people can't do anything to save themselves. We were dead, but verse 4 in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, he has quickened us together. By grace are you saved. It's not free. It cost God everything. It cost God his son. It cost Jesus Christ his life. All that suffering, it was not free. But you were dead. You couldn't do anything to save yourself. You couldn't water yourself, circumcise you. None of those things saved people. So, he says to them, and I'll skip down here a little bit. In verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law, all the Old Testament law and everything that God showed his people, remember the whole law, two verses? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The two things, the first and great commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. You do those two things, you are fulfilling all that God required man to do. You are obeying God. All of the sacrifices and the rituals and all of those things were a type. They were a ceremonial type to show you what the Messiah would do. Once the Messiah is done, you don't need those ceremonial things any longer. But you still need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You still need to do the word. And you still need to love one another. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You know, you start biting into, they were having this religious argument, this doctrinal argument. Oh, you got to do this to be saved. And then the other guy, man, no, you don't. I don't know how many people there were on the other side of the ledger, but the point is they were biting and devouring one another with their words. And that consumes people. It consumes, just think about the church. Just think of the history of the Christian church if you want to think about history. If you get baptized one way, you baby baptize people, we'll kill you. You know, I mean, people really, when the doctrine goes bad, they bite and they devour one another. You know, Ireland's a good example. You got the Catholics and the Protestants blowing each other up. This I say then. So this is the answer to these things. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to do the things that are in the law? You love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. You walk in the Spirit of God that he has poured out on Pentecost. When you walk in that Spirit, you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God has given us the Spirit, right? That Spirit is our Lord's counsel. Just to remind you, it's our Lord's counsel. We got Christ in us. It is better than having our Lord and Savior personally present in this room. It is better than having our Lord and Savior present in this room. That is a mind-boggling statement. That's what the Scripture says. You and I and the believers all around the world have God in Christ in us, which is our hope of glory. I have a future mailing address. It's glory. I like that. You know, every time the kids move, they got to do it. I still get Michael's mail to go fill out the card, change the address. But the our future address is glory. All we got to do is stay faithful. But when you walk by the Spirit of God, which He has given you, which you have got that in that Spirit within you, His counsel, and that never, this word is Spirit. These words, they are Spirit and they are life. You walk by the written word, you're walking by the Spirit. When you believe what it says. So you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I want to bring something to your attention. This whole book, the context of this book in Galatians, is about them turning to a different doctrine, right? A different religion. All right? Different doctrine. A doctrine of getting circumcised, doing the things that the law says to do, and so that you can be saved. Now, you can do nice ceremonial things as a reminder, as a teaching point. You can do things, and it is not about salvation. There's nothing evil about that. But if it is about salvation, then this is devilish. The book is talking about doctrine. And yet, what he's going to be talking about here is going to be sins. Both things are the flesh. When you reject Christ and you start working for yourself to make your own righteousness and your own salvation, that is just as bad as sexual immorality and all the rest. Because it's the work of the flesh. There's no difference there. For the work for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. It fights against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, and have told you also in past times, that that they which have done such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you have this list: sexual immorality, drunkenness, hatred, violence, betrayals, heresies against God. But what is the whole book, the context of the book, about? It's talking about doctrine, and that's just as much the work of the flesh. Just as much. In fact, when you read Romans chapter 9 and 10, it talks about these things. They went about seeking their own righteousness, which is of the law, and not the righteousness of God. The work of the flesh is your stuff. It's about you. Religion is about you. You doing something to get good with God. Humbling yourself and recognizing that I was dead. Humbling myself and recognizing that I needed a Savior and I could do nothing of myself. is what's required to believe. When you empty yourself and say, save me, he does. You believe that Jesus is the one who has sacrificed himself for you. You believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has paid the price. You believe that he is God's Messiah that would live and preach the gospel, and you do what he teaches you to do, and you believe that he died for you as your substitute, and that God raised him from the dead, and those of us who believe this will be raised also. But all that, all the works of the flesh, religion, and all of the sexual and immoral sins and lusts, they're all in the same bag. And I don't think people think that. I don't think that they understand that very much. That's why I make such a big point out of it. But the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, the fruit of the Spirit, that's something that takes a while to develop. This is something you got. When you walk by the Spirit, you got this. I mean, it's boom. This is it. You know, it don't take you a lot of work to sin, does it? You don't have to work your way into it. You just go there. And you got the fruit, right? Well, it's the same thing with the Spirit. We're not talking about a plant that takes forever to grow something. We're talking about you manifest the Spirit. This is the fruit of it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now you can look up each one of these words and get a better understanding if you need it from the words that are listed here. Just go to any good dictionary. And you can put them in more modern terms, and maybe some of you have more modern translations of the Bible, and it will help you. But the point is, what I'm saying to you is that you, when you walk by the Spirit, you're walking in love. If you're not loving, you ain't in the Spirit. If you got hate in your heart, you ain't in the Spirit. If you got backbiting in your heart, you ain't in the Spirit. If you think you're some hotshot, you ain't in the Spirit. If you got no self-control, you fly off at that, you ain't in the Spirit. You figure it out. Do you follow me? Because when you walk like the Lord, it looks like this. And I'm not talking about volume, that how you present yourself. I'm talking about fruit. You know, when Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, you know, you guys are the children of the devil, he was teaching them, he was being loving. They could change their mind. He told them, you're the children of the devil. But he still begged them to believe and to change. That's love. Wasn't very pleasant to hear. In verse 24, lists these fruits, and then it says, and they that are Christ's, they that are and belong to Christ, they have crucified the flesh, your old nature, crucified the flesh with the afflictions of and lusts, affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. And then it says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, if any man is sinning, and they have fallen into this kind of thing, the works of the flesh or whatever. I mean, just think about the whole book. The works of the flesh. You, which are spiritual. If you're really spiritual, I mean, it's how you figure something out. If you're really spiritual, you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, with the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And again, it's real simple. It's real easy. You go from in the spirit of meekness to restore someone else back to God, or to become judgmental and critical. And it's really a matter of attitude, isn't it? It's a matter of motive. I'm sure that you could do a whole teaching on that, but bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are burdens that you can bear and help people with. There are things that you can do, and, you know, it says those that cry, cry with them. Those that laugh, laugh with them. Those rejoice, rejoice with them. Those that mourn, mourn with them. There are things that you can do to help and be there for and with people. There are things that you see someone destitute and hungry and you can help them. You know, you run out of money if you try to do the whole world. But you can do what's in front of you, right? But then there's also things that you can't do. Just can't. So it says in verse 2 again, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Law of Christ is love. Walking by the Spirit, obeying His word. For if any man thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another's. For every man shall bear his own burden. You know, if we do this right, we walk by the Spirit, and we got the right motive, all right? And we're working for and with God, and He's working within us, and we're doing the written word, and we're doing it for the right motive and all those other wonderful things. We're not biting and devouring one another. We are simply helping, restoring, and we are able to help one another with the burdens that we have. And we all have burdens. There is nobody who doesn't have burden. I have burdens. Every single one of us. We go to the Father, and we get encouraged by one another. We get prayed for by one another. We can help, you know, but there are things that when you get somebody who thinks that he's something when he's really nothing, there's no meekness there. When you taught him, there's no meekness there. Oh, I know, God told me. Okay. Or whatever. Yeah, I don't want that kind of life. The Bible ain't real. The words in it, they're just nice guys wrote those things. It's not a lot you're going to do with this person at the moment, right? When a person thinks that they already know, they're not teachable. Meekness, you know, humility, those are the qualities of the Spirit, right? But also, you know, brokenness. When you get to a person that is broken, I need help. Pray for me. This is a person who's demonstrating, I got the answer. I need help. You can help restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. When you got somebody who already knows everything, they ain't listening. You ever have, you know, you ever watch children grow up? You know, they hit a certain age, and all of a sudden, mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. It's really hard to get through this. But they do. Finally, life does humble them. And they finally get... You know, I remember Mike called me up one time. He was down in Georgia in the military. And he said to me, "Dad, this is my master sergeant, just like you." You know, he talks just like you. And Mike respected him a great deal. And I said, "Well, that's great." I thought, "Well, it sounds good." And I thought, "Wow, he must be being tough on him." But Mike just appreciated more of what I had done for him in his life from that point on. It was sort of like the light bulb went on. Yeah, there are other individuals who I respect. I see the fruit in their life. I see what the commitments that they have and so forth. And they're telling me the same truths and the same principles. And it, wow, I was wrong. In other words, I was wrong for thinking that you didn't know what you were doing at the time. It's a long way to get there, but when you get somebody who doesn't know, who thinks that they are something when they are really nothing, they deceive themselves. And self-deception is the most difficult. I pray, because you can hardly see it in your own life. You really can't hardly see it. I know I've been deceived on a number of things throughout the years. I mean, no question about it. You know, you think, whatever, I'm not going to give any examples. It's hard to see. You've got to pray. You've got to ask God, show me, help me. Don't allow me to go down this road. Let everyone prove his own work. What's the fruit of the work you do? You know, in whatever aspect of life that you're living at the moment. What's the fruit? You prove it. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Let every man, for every man shall bear his own burden. There are some things that you just can't do or help anybody with. And I think that this is sort of, if you think about it on a practical basis, this is true, right? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now remember, he's talking about the contents of the book. You know, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are in the household of faith. And then he goes on. When we walk by the Spirit, go to Ephesians 5 here. Actually, 4. Go to Ephesians 4. When we walk by the Spirit, we choose to do that. You know that? I choose to walk by God's Spirit, and I have to deliberately do this. Because my flesh always is haunting me. No, get angry. Hate. My flesh is always... It's like an annoying dog. Nipping at you, bugging you. It's like an annoying dog biting at you. And you can lose your cool if you allow it. Somebody cuts you off in the car. I mean, your first thought is, oh, they're in a hurry. No, that's not your first thought. You know, somebody just, you know, I opened the one. It was shocking one day. It was many years ago, but I opened the door for this lady, right, going into the store. She says, you don't have to open the door for me. I don't need no man opening the door for me. And I lost it. I did not do the godly thing. I did not. I slammed the damn door. I said, you can imagine. It was not one of my better moments. And then I'm in the store and I'm saying, God, forgive me. But it was just like she lit the match and it blew up and that was the end of it. You just say, it caught me off guard. Just caught me off guard. It's like that dog biting at you. And if it puts its teeth in, you really have to control your thoughts. Ephesians, look at this. Verse 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. It's in the mind. Having their understanding darkened, being aliens from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with grief. Don't be like you were. This is what your previous history was. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, put you off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, according to the lust, the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You choose to renew the spirit of your mind, and that you have put on the new man. See, these are deliberate things that have to be done. Nothing in this lifetime. There'll come a day when the Lord returns and we get a new mind. God's going to write the word in our heart, and that will be our default setting. You know, that will be what we do, because that's not that he has given us a new mind. But now we have to choose. I have to choose not to walk in the flesh. I have to choose to walk in the Spirit of God. So you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. For you are members one of another. You know, when you lie to someone that you know, someone who trusts you, like George and I, we know each other, God knows how many years now. Now, if George were to lie to me about any, what would it do to this long-time friendship? It would cause me to doubt. It would harm the relationship and the friendship. And it doesn't matter if it's a little one or a big one. It harms the trust. Do you see what I mean? If my children lie to me, then I can't trust them. And when they're little, you know, they oh, no, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. They lie. That's their default setting, right? The default setting was not, yes, Daddy, I did that. I'm sorry. No, that wasn't the default. You have to learn not to lie. You have to choose not to lie. Because then the automatic is, I got to cover this up. So you put away lying. You choose. You speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Now, this word angry is the word annoyed. Okay? There's two words. I forget this word in the Greek. The other one is thumos, tempest. We get the word tempest. Orge. Orge is that one, right? So you get this word tempest. That's sin. That's the other one for sin. Anger boiling over. It's boiling over. Just think of it like a teapot. It boils over. It's a tempest. This thing is just rolling. This is annoyed. You know what? I'm annoyed constantly. I'm annoyed at myself. I'm annoyed at sin. I'm annoyed at the world. I am. Be angry. But don't get boiled over. Mary is annoyed at me quite often. But she doesn't get boiled over. I mean, if you think being... Jesus was annoyed and threw over the tables and the money changers in the temple, right? He looked round about on them with anger. This is that word. This is that word. And he's annoyed for the hardness of their heart when he healed the man with the withered hand. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, the day's over. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You deal with it. You deal with everything you got to deal with mentally. And don't let the sun go down without letting it go. Neither give place to the devil. Just don't give him place. Don't give him the place. And let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Integrity is a huge part. Did Jesus Christ have integrity? Does God have integrity? Well, with our words, lying, God's never lied to us. Yet, it's our human nature to lie because of Adam's sin, because of the old man nature. It's our human nature, our default setting. We have to choose to put the word on, the new man on, the things of God on. And for stealing, instead of doing that, work with your hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, the reason that you work is so that you can give. You know, the reason I worked as all my life, Mary worked, was so that we could have to give first and foremost to our household and family and then to others. That's why. It's always about serving somebody else. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's probably the most difficult thing for me. The mouth is a terrible thing, right? The tongue. Who can control it? That is like the hardest. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. When you don't walk by the Spirit, when you don't live in love, when you're not doing it according to His Word, you are grieving the Spirit of God within you, whereby you are sealed up until the day of redemption. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another. Kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That is what a beautiful way to live, and what a necessary way to live. Otherwise, guess what? We bite and devour one another, you know, and it destroys. I've watched families be destroyed. I've watched churches be destroyed. I've watched marriages be destroyed. You know? Unless we choose to do what the Word says. Just one more place I want to take you. Just 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because this to me is a very powerful verse about the mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and about walking with God. It says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Yeah, here it is. We don't want to walk in the flesh, right? So you don't want to walk in the flesh doing the things of the flesh. But guess what? We're still here, right? I mean, I can still pull on my cheek. And I know that, you know, just like somebody pinches my cheek, I know I'm still flesh. We're in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we're alive in the flesh at the moment. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not about the flesh type of life, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are, until our Lord returns, always going to have these two. We're going to have our natural nature, the one we were born with, which is enmity against God. And we're going to have the opportunity and the challenge to walk by the Spirit. The more you practice, the easier it gets. You know, as I don't have the same struggles I did when I was when I first became a Christian. It's always still there. It's like that yapping dog. It's still there. But I don't go back that far. I have other challenges which are just as important and just as critical in walking with God. But they're different temptations. I still got to control my mind just as much now as I did back then. The things that I have to control my mind about are very different. But you pull down these strongholds. You pull them down by being obedient. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you bring it into captivity. You jail it. You lock it up. To the obedience of Christ. You just don't. You bring this thing down. Every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you bring it into captivity through the obedience to Christ. So that's what I wanted to share with you all this morning. And before we close, I'm going to pray. But if you online have anything that you'd like to share about the teaching and not just say goodbye, please, you know, I'd like to invite anybody who does want to share something to say something. And because I'd like to have a little bit of back and forth here. So, Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for your great grace, your tender mercies. Thank you so much for what you have done for us, for the freedom that you have given us. We were dead, Father, and you saved us. Help us to walk in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Help us to walk in the liberty wherein he has made us free, Father. and help us to walk by the Spirit and discipline our hearts and minds, Father, to walk by the Spirit and to choose you and to choose to walk like our Lord. I love you. I praise you. I thank you for taking care of each and every one of our lives, taking care of and blessing each and every one of your people, Father, and cause us to work within us, Father, and cause us to do your will, be a glory and an honor to you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.